Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene with Wole and Ray Jeezy. The homie Will T's out. What's good, Ray?
I'm excited about what's about to happen. Anytime the pre-show is dope, it's always fun to consider what the real show is going to be like. And we're now here on the real show. And I'm glad that people are listening. More and more engagement on social media. The urban sports scene is just growing. Yeah, and it's fun to watch and it's fun to be part of. So, dude, you're a little depressed. I can tell when you're off your game. You know, when you're depressed, you usually make a sandwich or something. Have you had a sandwich? You got some type of green sauce?
No, that was because I'm...
Is that Peruvian? Or was that?
Yeah, Peruvian.
Oh, okay, all right.
I peeped it. That was from... I ate that Sunday, and I just left the sauce there. I ate Sunday.
Peruvian is dope.
Because I lost a bet for the fight.
That's what I say. I know when you're off your game. And
but
you
I had a sandwich, though. I had a peanut butter sandwich.
There you go.
Those are
the telltale signs. That's what's up. I know you well.
Some oatmeal.
You're not big Wole no more. When you was, heavy in college, you would have got, like, a chili cheeseburger. You'd have went really hard.
I went with ham, bro.
The source of your depression, the trigger for your feelings is Errol Spence. He was not just beat. He was beat pretty badly. You know, I like Errol Spence still. Terrence Crawford showed a ton of respect. I'm going to continue to respect Spence because he's still a top fighter. It's just, of course, he lost that night, and it wasn't as close as what we expected. However, the discussion with us and what else is to come on the show is going to be great because boxing still won. Boxing is winning now.
Yeah, they did win.
Okay,
boxing
so,
did win.
For example, I told you a long time ago, and many say this, UFC is better than boxing because the best fight the best, right?
Yeah.
Guys aren't scared to lose. Mm-hmm. They step in the octagon. Like Israel Adesanya, he took an L.
Yeah.
But he came back and he won. And it was dope to watch. There was a big UFC event over the weekend. But because Errol and Bud was fighting, nobody was really talking about UFC like that. So, Dustin Poirier and Justin Gaethje fought. And Errol and Terrence Crawford were bigger than that. So, but boxing still won, and I'm excited about that. I know when I go back in the barbershop, I'm going to catch it because –
I wasn't talking trash,
but the way these guys framed it is if Terrence Crawford was like 10 times better than Errol. They were saying Errol is just too slow, he's too this. And I'm like, well, what's crazy is, again, I was just feeling like for what Errol has accomplished, all the people that he beat, it was disrespectful.
Yeah.
So we were going back and forth. And hey, when I go back, I know they're gonna tell me, look, we tried to explain it to you, you were wrong, but I still feel like there was some other factors. But Bud was amazing that night, and I like Bud too. That's cool. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. We're gonna get there.
We're definitely gonna get there. Yeah. I do want to give a shout out to my boys because they were talking, like you said, talking trash. I'm a boy, Rodney and Lawrence.
Okay.
And they were talking trash about like the whole time before the fight. Like, Earl can't see Bud. Bud gets way more, like you said. But Earl stays one way, you know, one side. He's one way. He's one dimensional.
Right.
Bud can go different routes. Right. Go to southpaw. He moves his feet, fast hands. He's a finisher. I used to hear that all the time. He's gonna finish.
We talked about it last week though. That the speed factor that Crawford had that edge.
Yeah.
And we thought it was a wash power wise.
Yeah. So, I thought Earl had like more power. We'll talk about that,
okay,
bro. Because it's a lot though. But shout out to y'all, man. Because they always talk about I don't give them a shout out when I'm wrong about boxing. So there you go. I put it out.
Well, see that's part of factored into my thinking because I got humbled because Keith Thurman, who's talking about fighting a woman at this point,
bro.
Because remember, I was so confident that Keith Thurman was going to end Pacquiao, which he should have. Yeah, Pacquiao was at the end of the road, and Ugas ultimately did what was supposed to happen.
Yes.
But then you trolled me for probably a good 2 weeks about how you're pretty accurate with your boxing predictions. I mean, you were happy. Armand Lee, shout out to him. Yeah. I ain't seen him in a while, but he came on and was like, well, you're the only one I saw that really was picking Pacquiao. So you had your flowers, and you just rolled with it.
I rolled with it.
I was like, dang, this dude is coming for me. So I said, okay, Wole rolling with Earl. Wole, since he's the boxing expert,
I've been right a lot, and then I've been wrong the last few.
Well, I was over. I was a big over too. I sent a text out saying, okay, Stephen Fulton about to win. Earl's about to win. It's gonna be a great week. Top rank, you know that ESPN, that whole crowd over there is about to shut up.
Yeah.
Nope,
I'm telling you.
And like I said, boxing still won. I'm okay though. I don't get into contentious arguments anymore about sports, which I love.
It's not that thorough.
What I've seen on social media has been insane.
That's different, though. I just ignore. They're crazy. I walk away from that stuff. I don't entertain that stuff. That's too much for me. I ain't gonna lie. I forgot to mention we're part of Empire Media. We're part of Empire Media. And that's empiremedia.com. So yeah, check us out.
Empire Media is host of multiple DMV podcasts, such as the John Kine Report.
Are you getting into all that? Okay, go ahead.
As well as ESPN Washington, as well as Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. I mentioned John Kine. John Kine has been, I mean, he's been putting some great Commanders content out there.
Yeah, on
he's
Empire,
part of Empire Media. Yeah, and of course, he is the, I guess, what do you want to call him, lead writer for the ESPN, for the Washington Commanders insider. That dude.
Yeah. You know it, bro. He's that dude, man. Oh, yes, me. Subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search The Urban Sports. I can read this, too. Make sure you subscribe to The Urban Sports and YouTube channel as well.
Also, check us out on Podcast DC, which is the local app with hundreds of options in news and health right here in the DMV region. Go ahead and download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Empire shows, including The Urban Sports Scene, as well as a lot of great content.
Hey, do not forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Hey, also join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Will T's not in the building, but he usually says this, but I'll say it for him. Let's get into our tradition. The pregame, here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about Terrence Bud Crawford dominating, and I mean dominating Errol Spence Jr., Saturday night to become the undisputed welterweight champion. Then at 8:20, Wayne and Jermaine from the Adams Boxing Show will join us to give us their thoughts on the fight. And finally, we will talk about what's going on during Washington Commanders training camp with Seawall Sports and Entertainment's Candy Waller. Candy is also the president of Bowie TV. All right, Saturday night in Vegas, Terrence Bud Crawford TKO'd Errol Spence in the 9th round to become the undisputed welterweight champion. Ray, why was Bud so dominant?
I think Bud came in with a game plan, and Errol had a one-track mind that he was going to break him. That was his goal. He assumed that Terrence was going to start off slow. It was going to be some feel-out rounds up until around the 5th, and then at that point, he could break him down, going to the body and imposing his size and his will. But Bud got off to a fast start, and Bud never looked back. So I think that was the main determining factor for the fight. I don't think that Errol at all underestimated Bud. I really think he knew what he was capable of. And I think that Bud, same mindset, he had a mindset that I'm going to show the world, because he still had that chip. I feel like Errol didn't have as big of a chip. Even though Errol was not the betting favorite in Vegas, he didn't have that chip that Bud. You said it. Yeah. Bud just looked like the hungry dude even before the fight came about. But leading up to it, what's crazy is you and I had discussions. We thought both of them were sort of 2A and 2B. Canelo was number one in our eyes in terms of pound for pound before he lost to Bivol, and they were 2A and 2B, so to speak. Mm-hmm. When Bud beat Porter, we like, all right, Bud's number one in terms of welterweight. It's done. And then, of course, Errol comes back and hurts Ugas. Broke his face. And it's like, okay, Errol is back too. So now we're going to settle this debate. And the debate was settled, and I largely think it's because Bud and his team just had a much better game plan. But I also feel like in training camp, he's sparring Shakur Stevenson. He's getting guys into the ring with him who are equally as good and sharp. And as you know, iron sharpens iron. I like that Derek James is building a nice stable and group over there as well. But it just wasn't the same. I feel like Bud had a better training camp. Bud had a better game plan, and Bud came out on top.
Yes, I make fun of people's weights, trainer. The other trainer.
Oh, BOMAC. Yeah. It's because BOMAC, he's a talker, so he get under your skin. When big folks get at you, that's the first thing you're going to say.
You're
going to go at their weight. Because he was annoying Errol, because that's what people interview Errol. I'm not going to necessarily shout out all these other websites and all, but they were saying, you seem like you got more of a contentious relationship with his trainer, BOMAC, as opposed to him. And he's like, man, I'm gonna shut his Cheeto eating Bud up. And, you know, that's what Errol said in response. They were annoyed by Bud, because BOMAC been talking longer than Bud has.
But
at the same time, BOMAC was selling the fight too.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
All right. So, why he was dominant, why Bud was so dominant? He was just a better boxer, man. He's just a better fighter. It just is what it is. Like, when you watch it, that's what you see. Like, the better fighter won. It's always, like, when we go into breaking down, like, puncher versus the boxer. Mm-hmm. Not to say Earl can box. I think Earl can box. But the supreme boxer typically wins, right? Like, even, like, for example, like, I'm a Pacquiao guy, right? Mm-hmm. But I told folks between Mayweather and Pacquiao, especially at that time, I was like, yeah, Mayweather's going to be, will probably be Pacquiao. I said that, like, he'll probably be Pacquiao. You know, so I told folks I would root for Manny, but Mayweather would win because he's a supreme boxer. The same, like, Fury, Wilder. Wilder has more power, but Fury is the most dominant boxer. I guess that one may be a bad example because Wilder really can't box. He's more of just a puncher in the truest sense of the word. But in this situation, I just, you know, looking at the fight, it just to me, Bud was just the more dominant boxer. Just nothing, Earl, it's nothing he can do. And the issue, the thing that was so jarring was that he hit him anytime he really wanted to. Like, it wasn't, there was nothing Earl could do.
He landed a high percentage of power punches.
Very high percentage.
So something in my eyes was either off about Earl or, again, Bud elevated himself. But I said that last week. I said that the world before we came in. I said, I think Bud got another level that we ain't seen yet.
Definitely was at another level.
Will said, yeah, I do too. I said the same thing about Tank, Shakur. I think we haven't seen the best of these guys yet. Yeah. Like, Tank was saying,
Tank was saying
maybe Garcia might bring it out of him, but then he saw that Garcia was an inferior boxer to him,
and he
chilled out. Because we watched Bud against Postal, Victor Postal. He didn't look like this. They went the distance. Andy Burns went the distance. Mm-hmm. He fought Gamboa, which he
stopped him, though.
He did eventually.
Yeah, eventually.
Late.
He stopped him. Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, we saw him fight Mean Machine.
Yeah,
So we never saw this Terrence because he didn't need to bring it out yet.
Mm-hmm.
But he knew for this fight he was going to bring it out. And that's what Earl was saying. Like, in the lead-up, he was saying, really, your resume don't compare to mine as I fought better fighters.
Yeah.
So we thought, okay, if you can't stop them, then how are you going to stop Earl? Because Earl is a beast.
Yeah.
Antoine said that after he stopped Postal, he was like, Terrence Crawford, who people consider number one, couldn't do this.
Yeah.
But Terrence Crawford had a whole nother level that, again, he didn't either show or he didn't feel like he needed to because he knew he was far superior to these boxers. Including Benavidez, Jose, he stopped him in like the 11 for 12.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, nah, him and Earl going to the distance. I thought if anybody won, it was going to be on points. I really did. That was my thought. I know. Shout out to Will. He said, I got Crawford by KO.
He said that during the show?
He said it during the show. He got Crawford by KO. Right. And then he said, you know, of course, later on, I got Crawford in the ninth once he saw how the fight started.
He called it perfectly. He did.
Damian Lillard walking into the arena. He said, I can't see anything that Spence can do that can offset what Crawford brings to the table. He said, hey, I love Spence, but I can't see it.
I mean, that's the thing. Dame be watching boxing, too.
He's great boxing, man.
He be watching boxing. First round was legit. I thought, it's how I thought, filling out process. I thought, I knew Earl would push it, and he did push it. He pushed it, too. I mean, the second round, he tried to push it, but he got caught. Like, the first knockdown was more caught him with a jab, unexpected jab. I was like, yeah, he ain't really hurt him. I told him he didn't hurt him. He just hit him. He caught him. And he caught him off balance. Bang. You know what I'm saying? It was a solid. It was a knockdown, but he just caught him. The last two joints were just like.
Yeah, well, at that point, it was an onslaught.
Yeah, it was real.
The power punch percentage was crazy.
And that too. And also, it just, and it's, to me, it's wild. Like, Earl is the bigger boxer, but it didn't play that way. Like, I felt like Bud was stronger. Mm-hmm. Like, he pushed him around. He's the one that.
Bud said I felt his power, and I was like, you know what? And then Bud kind of like mushed him a little bit.
Yeah,
and then the one round,
like he was the stronger boxer. Like,
he bullied him.
And I don't know. Like, I don't know why that's the case because that Earl has always been the stronger boxer. Period. You know what I'm saying? Like, Bud was just ready, man. He was ready for him. He's better. He's a better boxer.
And that's cool. That's the beauty of sports. Boxing is the most difficult one because in boxing, it's not a team sport. You know, you can have like Allen Iverson overmatched by the Lakers, but Allen Iverson still hoops, and he still got all the respect in the world after they basically get whooped by the Lakers in the finals,
facts,
right?
Facts.
Everybody's still saying AI is an all-time great.
Yeah.
He just went up against a better team. But when you one-on-one with somebody and it happens like it plays out like that, there's a reactionary way about all of us, especially those who cover sports and fans of sports.
Yeah.
So now, I don't want to see the rematch, blah, 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 blah. Listen, if they have a rematch, I'll be all for it. And if it's at 54, that would be dope. Terrence Crawford talked about moving up anyway, so I think it would be great for boxing again. Errol Spencer has already said he wants to do that, and I know you said you don't want to see it, but again, you're reactionary. You lost money. You had invest. Oh, you didn't? I thought you bet.
No, I said it was a friendly.
Oh, friendly bet. Okay, you lost a friendly bet, but still,
I'm blown because
your guy lost. Okay, okay, fair enough. Fair enough. But still, if you watch the history of boxing, Ali, Frazier, Duran. And Sugar Ray lost bad to Duran that first fight. So give it a rematch. That's why they signed the clause.
I said the same thing. Don't worry. I used that example of Ali Frazier. Like, because Frazier beat Ali pretty in one.
Yeah, but Frazier went to the hospital out there that first fight. Exactly. Even though he won.
No, I know. But I agree. No, I agree. I'm saying there's levels to a beatdown and saying the rematch is gonna be
Sugar Ray Duran then.
This one was pretty bad.
Sugar Ray got whooped.
I know Sugar. I mean, but this was pretty bad. Fight. But this is pretty bad. Like, you see this dude's face?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Did you like one round?
This is a better example for you because you round? Lived to see this. You didn't see the Sugar Ray Duran fight, so that doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter to me. I hate when we bring old fights I don't care about.
But it's
a great fight.
It's a way to reference how boxing, sequels and things of that nature can play out.
But they were really fighting the best. Like, that's different. Like, these dudes don't fight the best.
Obviously. Well, that's why we had to love this fight, and that's what happened.
No, I love the fight. I love the fight. Just angry at what I saw. Like,
see, people getting so emotional. Tim Bradley, the way he came out, beyond boosted. I mean, he was beating his chest. But and same thing with Andre. Well, I guess they were sick of hearing about the back and forth. Yeah. But that's why this fight had to happen, to put the rest to the debate. So now we know Terrence is ahead. Okay, if they fight again, if Terrence sweeps him, then ain't no point of talking about it no more. But we can still have a great discussion about these top welterweights and now moving up to 54. I would love to see Charlo step in there with Crawford as well. It's good. Yeah, it'll be dope.
It would be. And we can continue this discussion with Wayne and Jermaine from the Adams Boxing Show after the break. You're listening to Urban Sports saying, for Aegis, you dig, deuces.
Yes, I did. So I packed it up and brought it back to the crib. Just a little something to show you how we live. Everybody want it, but it ain't that serious. That's that. So if you gon' do it just like this. Did you realize that you are a champion? You don't see just how wild the crowd is. You don't see just how fly my style is. I don't see why I need a stylist. When I shot so much, I can speak Italian. I don't know, I just want it better for my kids. I ain't saying we was from the projects, but every time I wanna lay away or deposit, my daddy say when you see clothes, close your eyelids. We was sorta like Will Smith and his son. In the movie, I ain't talking about the rich ones. Cause every summer, he'd get some brand new hair, brain scheme to get rich from. And I don't know what he did for dope, but he'd send me back to school with a new wardrobe. And hey, did you realize that you were a think he did when he packed it up and brought it back to the crib. Just a little something to show you how we live. Everything I wanted, man, it seems so serious. That's that so if you gon' do it just like this. Did you realize that you are a champion? When it feel like living's harder than dying. For me, giving up's way harder than trying. Lauryn Hill said her heart was in Zion. I wish her heart still was in rhyming. Kids gon' listen to, huh? I guess me if it isn't you. Last week I paid a visit to the institute. They got the dropout keeping kids in the school. I guess I clean up my act like Prince do. If not for the pleasure, least for the principal. They got the CD, then got to see me drop gems like I dropped out of PE. They used to feel invisible.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole and Ray Jeezy, and we are part of Amplifier Media. That's AmplifierMedia.com. The homie Will T is out. Right now, we are joined by host of the Adams Boxing Show, Wayne and Jermaine. What's up, Wayne and Jermaine, and welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, what's going on with you, my brother? It's just me today, Wayne.
It's just you, Wayne? Just you? All right.
Yeah, just me today, man.
Okay, all right.
Couldn't make it today.
Okay, yep. Got you. Hey, man, let's get right into it, man. Ray and I, we were talking about, the fight. I thought it was going to be a classic. You know what I'm saying, but why I'm gonna ask the same question that Ray knows.
Can
I'm
he
blown.
Finish his sentence?
Ray knows I'm blown, but I'm gonna ask the same question I asked Ray earlier. Why was Bud so dominant?
Oh man, this is something he was just ready for, man. This is the best I've seen from Terrence. I've never seen Terrence look this good.
No, I said the same thing. Yeah, I know Ray said the same thing.
Took it to another level.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely took it to another. He's ready for the moment, man. I knew something was up when Eminem came out. I was like, oh, man, this dude.
You know what? I ain't gonna lie to you. I thought that too. I don't know why. Now, and like, interest music is getting to me. Like, I think that kind of sets the tone of winning a fight. This is killing me. Yeah. I thought the same thing back in my mind. I'm like, because I didn't know who Earl had. I was like, who is this? But when, Bud was second. Earl went first. Yeah. And when Earl came out, I was like, I don't even know. So my boy was like, yeah, this is so-and-so. I was like, I don't even know this dude. But when Bud came out, I was like, yeah, but M wasn't even rapping though, so it wasn't even the same.
Nah, it was a dope entrance, and he had the fishnet. I mean, he won that battle, man.
He did. He won that battle.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Earl came out to a local rapper from Texas. Mm-hmm. I think my brother knows his name. Yeah. I'm not really familiar with him as much. But yeah, when he brought M out, man, I knew something was up, man. Bud looked ready, man. You know, and then when you watch the first and second round, man, every time Bud would stick that jab out, it would make Earl just go backwards. I'm like, man, hold on, man. This ain't the Errol Spence I know, right?
I know, man.
Yeah, some seem off about it, but regardless, Bud was the better man. I want to, Wole, add a question in here because, you know, obviously I follow you on Twitter. You follow me as well. Appreciate you. But discussion about is it Inouye or Nui? We've been saying it wrong, whatever. But you say he's number one pound for pound, right? This fight was for number two. You still feel that way after this dominant performance?
Well, the thing is, I didn't know Bud was going to do that.
That's what I'm saying.
Now, it kind of making us like, okay, now we got to look back at it. Like, is Inouye still number one? It's tough. I really think it can go either way, to be honest, which is really no right or wrong answer in it. Mm-hmm. But the fact that, you know, the caliber opponent, you know, Arrow, I believe, is higher on the pound for pound list than Stephen Fulton. So I have no problem with anybody saying that Terrence should be number one, you know, right now. But Inouye, man, Inouye is coming. Inouye is coming. I think it's a good debate. What y'all think?
Well, see, we've had Shakur on the show before. He was cool. Shakur was a little upset with the tweet. Like, hold up, come on, man. Because, Carl with his man. So I'm like, maybe you can walk it back now. But it sounds like you're not sure how you feel. But I guess Inouye, the more competition he faces, the bigger competition, I'm sure we can settle this debate, especially if he makes it to Tank, which is what people are talking about.
Yeah, but look, check this out, y'all. You know you good when people are calling for guys like 13 pounds bigger than him.
This is true. Nah, real talk. This is true. This is true, though. Like, you have people who are bigger than this dude calling them out. They want to see him. Like, you know you on a different level. I agree with that. I agree with that.
Because look, check this out. Y'all remember when Floyd was doing his thing? People was calling for him to fight Gennady Golovkin. I'm like, hold up.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah.
So it's reminiscent of that right there. But Inouye's a straight beast, though, man. And the way he annihilated Fulton like that, I didn't expect that either.
Nah. That's the dope part. But, I mean, boxing won. Over that course of the 7 days, boxing won. Boxing is back. And I'm here for it, man. You know, I'm not that much invested in any one fighter, except for the, you know, like Antoine Russell. I told him that's my guy. He fighting on the 12, by the way, fam. Check him out, Showtime. But anyway, other than that, man, listen, we all as boxing fans, we're winning in this. Media, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. To have those two fights in 1 week, oh, my goodness, man. We might not ever get a week like that again.
Nope.
I ain't vibing Ray right now. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm invested in Earl, man. That's my guy. I ain't gonna lie to you. I've been invested. I ain't gonna hold you. I ain't gonna hold you. Like, yeah. I'm not mad. This is what I was telling Ray. I'm not mad. Like Bud beating Earl doesn't surprise me. So I'm gonna put that out there. Mm-hmm. That doesn't surprise me. It's the manner that he got his ass whooped. That's what bothers me. Like, that's what bothers me. Like, I'm cool. Look, a knockdown, I'm cool. I'm cool with a knockdown. But three? Come on. Like, three.
Yeah.
And you couldn't finish? Like, that's what, like, you got finished. And I know people are like, oh, it's a bad, like, that's a good stoppage to me. I was like, yeah, he done. Like,
yeah. He was on the, man, it's good that
that's a great stoppage.
Harvey stopped it. Yeah. It's good that Harvey did that. Because if he prolonged it, oh, my God.
Wow, dude. Hey, I'm going to ask you this real quick, Wayne, on the side note, because me and Wole always debating. You remember when Oscar Valdez almost killed Burchelt, right? You remember Burchelt was motionless for a good 5 minutes. Wole was like, it shouldn't have been stopped. It should have been stopped way before that. But now he's talking about Earl should. Come on, man. I think Earl should. I would have been okay if they would let him get finished. I would have been okay with that. I really would have been, even though it was a good stoppage.
Man, if you see the way Errol faced, man, that was a good stoppage, man. It was all red.
Oh, no doubt,
red,
man.
He brown skinned, he red. Like, how's that happen?
Listen, that wasn't the worst I've seen, though. Erickson Lubin was the worst.
Hold on, I want to hear what you say, Wayne?
My bad.
About that, you good?
I just don't know if just the effects that, like I said, you know, I don't make excuses for Errol, but I don't know if it's the effects of that car accident. He got in that bad car accident. Uh-huh. So, I mean, you're going, I know a lot of the Bud fans don't like hearing that, but when you get in any type of accident, you get it, you're never going to be fully 100% from that. Mm-hmm. Like he was thrown out of a car. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. No
excuses for him. He lost fair and square, but come on now. Like, the man is human. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, even to that, like, I don't, like, the reason why I don't, that's a factual statement. So I'm going to start it there. Mm-hmm. Because at first, when he fought Danny Garcia, I was like, yo, he's not right. Like, that was the first thing. I
said,
he's not right.
He ain't right. Yep.
But then when he beat Ugas, I was like, okay, I can't use the excuse anymore. Like, that's the first thing I said to myself. Like, I can't use
it. No doubt.
But then going to this fight, so that's the reason why I can't use it for this fight. I'm going to say this, though. That ain't the Earl that I'm accustomed to seeing. But I know Crawford fans will say that Bud made him look that way. So I'm not going to argue with them. I think they're, to a certain extent, they're right. Like, they're right. You know what I'm saying? But that's not the Bud. That's not the Earl that I'm accustomed to seeing. Like,
You got to let it go, bro.
I'm not letting it go. You shut up. Like, letting this go.
But no. The Spence fans are coming out with a lot of excuses, but they were talking big stuff before the fight.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Everybody was gonna break Bud. He was gonna break Bud. I mean, Errol Spence was talking a lot of stuff.
He was, though, real talk.
I mean, you definitely supposed to.
He said he was gonna break Bud like Kuta Kente, man. So, you know, man, and to be honest, I didn't like when Errol said that because you know, I mean, I watched Roots and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, history.
Yeah,
the right thing to say and all that, but. I mean, Errol talked a lot of stuff, man, and he got his butt whooped, man.
Yeah,
point blank, period, man.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong. That's boxing for you. So,
yeah,
we're going to talk a potential rematch, but before we get there, in your eyes, what does this do for Bud's legacy? Does this cement him as one of the four kings?
No. He still has more work to do.
Okay.
Mm. I mean, when you look at his resume, it's good, not great, and it's not all the way his fault.
Right.
But. Oh, okay. It was a lot of politics came into play with that, but he still has some more wins out there. You know, I want to see him versus Keith Thurman or Boots next, to be honest with you. I don't really want to see an Errol rematch.
That's right. I know that's right.
I wouldn't mind seeing him against Jermell because people sleeping on Jermell, bro. Like, Jermell is that. Now, that's one of my favorite boxers, again, outside of Antoine Russell. But so you think he's still got some more work to do? So let's say he. What would he need to do? Would he need to beat Boots, Thurman, Mel, a rematch? How far would he need to go before you could consider him one of the greatest of all time in that top four?
I would say to beat Boots. You got to fight one of these young dudes.
Okay.
Everybody has done it. Even Floyd has done it. Mm-hmm. Taking on Canelo.
Yeah.
True.
13 years older than Canelo. You got to face one of these young guys, too. You know what I'm saying? So I would say beat Boots, beat Keith, because Keith is one of your peers. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And at one point, Keith was the guy in the world's weight division.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah. People forget about Keith.
I get that. You know what? I get the Keith thing, but he deserves this. Like, because he wasn't trying to fight these dudes. He deserves this. He deserves people not trying to fight him.
He can't blackball.
Yeah, he deserves this. He was doing this to Earl and Bud. Nah, he deserves this. Yeah,
that is true, because at one point in time, it didn't seem like Keith or any of them champions at the time wanted to really
see
Earl. After he went 12 rounds with Mikey, that's when you seen guys like Sean want to get in there with him.
Yeah.
And everybody else want to get in there with him. So
that's the only thing about Keith. Now they on top, he wanna kinda he could be calling them out. But when they were trying to call him out, he wasn't listening to them.
Look, he missed that shine. You know, Keith definitely one time you met Keith was a big trash talker too.
Yeah.
You know
he missed
him. Oh, he still is. Sure. He's still talking reckless out there.
Right now,
even though I like Keith, now, did you see the comments that Tank made? Tank said, "I'll stop Bud in six."
Oh man, I remember when I first seen that on one of them spaces.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's supposed to be confident, man. And Tank has power. I want to see how his power, you know, travels with him as he moves up in weight. Mm-hmm. But what's going to happen when you can't hurt Bud? Can you beat Bud by decision?
Mm. Yeah.
And Bud will hit you. Bud will hit you, as we saw. He will hit you and hit you a lot.
Well, the Boots fight looks like the most intriguing then. Based on what you're saying, no doubt. Boots is on a come up. Boots looks so good his last outing.
He'll get finished by Bud, too.
Is that?
Hey, George, we got a comment from George on Facebook. George, about this legacy talk.
Okay.
George, mm-hmm. completely changes the perception of him. Whatever doubts about his place as an all-time great has been put to rest.
Well, yeah, I get that. See, like we discussed before, Wayne came on. It was when he fought like Victor Postol, when he fought Gamboa, when he fought the Mean Machine, as they call him. He fought guys, and it wasn't like, okay, he looked real spectacular. So that's why people did not necessarily hold him in that discussion with the greats of boxing. But this fight right here with Errol being the top fighter, yeah. I mean, like you said, top four, pound for pound.
Look, all I'm going to say, he's him. He's him right now. Yeah. That's all I'm going
to
say. He's him.
Yeah, yeah, Bud is that guy. You got to give it love to him.
Bud is one of the best of this time right now.
Yes, Errol.
In terms of all time, like I've told people plenty of times, the best fighters that we've watched on film, guys like Pernell Whitaker, guys like the early 80s, Hector Camacho, Floyd, Sugar Ray Leonard. We don't put Floyd on that. I mean, not Floyd. We don't put Bud on that on the level of those guys yet. I mean, those guys that we will put over Bud in terms of who we've seen on film.
So. You're talking about his competition, right? Just because of competition.
Competition and skill set, too.
Okay, okay.
Those guys were like A-plus fighters.
Mm-hmm. See, I agree.
So we will put those guys above Bud. But Bud, if Bud continues to rack up wins, then maybe one day we will look at him in terms of that light. But he's a great fighter, though. He's a great fighter.
My primary issue was that he re-signed with Top Rank, knowing that it was a struggle to get those big fights because of the affiliation, man, with Bob Arum. That was my issue. Why re-sign with him? And then Bob Arum come out talking about he was hard to promote and he was like pulling teeth to get him to do this and do
Bob
that.
Bob wrong now.
You know what I'm saying?
That Bob wrong.
Bob hurt. He hurt because he missed out on that bread.
Yeah, Bob wrong now because this fight, he put him to another level. This fight put him to another level.
Oh, Bob always said he would dominate Errol though. He did. Bob Arum always said that. He just said getting him to promote was hard. He was like, he won't be Floyd, but he won't act like Floyd.
Yeah, Wayne, what you about to say?
No. You would think that some of the guys would have learned from what, you know, Floyd has went through with Bob. And I like Bob Arum, too, but, you know what I'm saying? That did catch me off guard with Terrence, you know, re-signing with them, especially when the guys on the other side were with, you know, Al Haymon, you know, Golden Boy, Al Haymon and Golden Boy. So that did put a halt to a lot of things. It was just a bad time in politics at that time on all sides, to be honest with you.
So, so Wayne, where does Errol go from here?
Where does Errol go from here?
Yeah.
Go up to 154. Mm-hmm. He's at this point, really, Errol should be fighting at middleweight, to be honest with you. Mm. He's been at welterweight for far too long. Errol's always been a big guy. Errol, look, he can be in the ring with guys like Winky Wright and Marvin Hagler. Like, he's that big. Like, he really shouldn't have been at welterweight this long as it is. So it's about time for him to go up to 154, maybe fight Erickson Lubin or Castaño. Castaño hasn't fought in a long time. Maybe he can fight some of them guys. And those guys are not going to be sweet for Errol either.
Do you think the knockdowns have, like, made him damaged goods? Like, he won't be able to bounce back from it?
No. If Harvey Dock would let – or, well, better yet, Derek James' train didn't stop it. Well, no. Harvey Dock stopped it. But if he would allow that to continue, man, Errol, man, oh, my goodness. It would have been tough for Errol to come back from that because his face was taking a beating. And probably should have stopped before that, actually.
Ooh, he thought before? Oh, yeah, that's tough.
It probably should have, man. You see the way his face looked. Oh my goodness,
that was horrible. Really,
man. Derek James stopped it. To be honest, his trainer should have stopped it. Much probably.
You listen to the Urban Sports Scene. We're currently joined by Wayne from the Adams Boxing Show. And if you follow Adams Boxing Show, you would know they do a lot of film study. And you study like Duran and Sugar Ray. And remember, Duran got at Sugar Ray that first fight, but then they came back and ran it back. Do you see Errol being able to have a similar result if he were to run it back with Bud at 154?
What the thing is, the difference between that is the Sugar Ray Leonard and Duran fight was actually a close fight. A lot of people think that was a blowout, but actually that was a close fight. And you could have given that to Sugar Ray Leonard, even though me and my brother were more impressed with what Duran did. So we thought Duran should have gotten the decision. So I got to shout out to my brother Jermaine, man. He's definitely the king of film studies and the film watcher I know.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. That Riddick Bowe, Lennox Lewis debate, I thought that was dope, by the way.
Good job, man. Definitely appreciate it, my
brother. Yeah, because, see, I thought Duran beat Sugar Ray flat out. And I'm from PG County. Man, Sugar Ray is my guy. But at the same time, I was like, nah. I'm seeing Duran got that first fight. I'm always watching old fights on YouTube. I've gone back and watched a lot of Andre Ward as well. But I feel where you're coming from. Wole does not want to see the rematch for real. He's a Errol guy. He's frustrated. But at the same time,
I like both of them equally. At one point, I did pick. I actually thought Errol probably would win this fight. But I thought it would either be an Errol decision or a Bud stoppage. And I leaned towards more of the Errol decision, actually. I thought Errol would be much prepared. I thought Errol was really going to come in there and be ready to go, man. But I thought if it was a stoppage, Bud would be the one to stop him because Bud is more of a finisher than Errol.
Man,
I don't even think he's gonna get finished. That's what I'm saying. My man just finished, dude. Like, he was finished.
Yeah. But nobody thought it finished. Would be this bad, though.
Yeah, man. I told Ray he beat him like Mayweather beat Gotti, and he said I was out of line. Ooh. I thought that was pretty much.
Gotti did not land a punch on Floyd.
Hey, wasn't it that bad, though? Hey, Wayne.
It was.
Thank you. It was that bad. Thank you.
I hate the way you ask it, though.
Exactly. It was that bad, right? Wasn't it that bad?
It was definitely that bad. You see the way Gotti face was? Now you see the way Errol face was? Yeah.
Errol got up off the stool and continued. Gotti could not get off the stool, and Gotti did not land one punch. I remember watching that fight at Jillian's before it changed over.
He landed a punch, though. Don't say he didn't land a punch. Like one stupid punch. It was like a punch. It just didn't do nothing. It was like, ha ha.
I'm just saying, I thought Gotti could land a lucky shot.
Funny story about that. I remember being in a barbershop. And it was a guy that was adamant that Gotti was going
to
beat Floyd.
There's always one idiot who said, I used to laugh at it. It was always one person.
Nah, that was crazy. That's insane.
They was wilding, too. They was wilding.
Yeah.
See, we weren't out there thinking that Errol could win. We knew Gotti couldn't win. We thought Gotti could land a lucky shot, possibly, and maybe hit him, but...
No one thought Gotti was going to win. They just got obsessed with Gotti Ward and thought that thing was real, like it was real boxing or some shit. All
right, so Wayne, before we let you get out of here, what's the next big fight to take place? Is it Canelo Mel, or what do you consider, or would it be like a Canelo versus Benavidez be the next big fight in boxing that boxing needs?
Canelo Charlo's a big one for sure, because that fight really could have happened probably 10 years ago. Like, they've been calling out Canelo for a long time. They was in the same division at one time, at the same time, you know? So that's a big one right there. That's been long brewing. Hopefully one day we get Haney versus...
Shakur.
Tank. Haney versus Tank.
Oh, yeah.
One day, hopefully, we get... That's the key. We'll see what Tank does when he gets back. Everybody waiting to see what Tank going to do.
Well, let me ask you this real quick. My bad. I got another question. Because the way Errol lost now in a sort of top... pound for pound guy going against another top pound for pound guy. Do you think that's going to make some fighters scared? Like, you know what? I'm not going to risk it. I'm about to keep making this bread and knocking out folks instead of trying to fight the best. Because I don't know if I want to take that risk by losing. Because a lot of people want to preserve their O these days. You know what I'm saying?
Of course. And you might be on to something right there. They've seen the way Errol stepped up in comp. Well, Errol's been doing that his whole career. He never takes tune-ups. But the way Errol lost, no, I don't know. Let me just play it slow. Let my manager pick my opponents. Let me guide my career the right way. It's possible. It's been going on for so long, but I hate that, though, man. What's the purpose of being in boxing if you ain't fighting the best, you know?
No, I'm with you. I hate it, too, but I think some boxers will be shook off of this because Errol is always – and, you know, the thing about – and it was a tweet out there. I think Michael Benson tweeted out. And he said that Earl, the only reason the fight happened, because Bud said it, like the only reason after the fight, he said the only reason why this fight happened was because of Earl. Like, it's the only reason. He appreciates him for that, you know what I'm saying, give him this opportunity. So Earl made it happen. I don't know.
Heyman is known for that, though. Al Heyman is known for sort of, he's a matchmaker.
Yeah.
To make his guys look good and make a lot of money in the process. That's what he's known for.
The old HBO announcer, play-by-play, blow-by-blow analyst, he said that, too. He said that. I mean, I'm not sure if it's true. He said that you know, he alluded to some similar sentiments about Al Heyman.
Yeah. A lot of people said that we like Al Heyman, though, of course. We got to have you back, bro, because we got Regis fighting Haney. It's big fights coming up.
Oh, but I will ask this last question. So do you think, even though you don't want it, do you think – but Earl has they have a rematch, and you would think they have it at 154. You think it happens at 154?
If I'm Terrence, I'm putting, because Terrence has the ability to do weight. If I do it right at welterweight, I make Earl come back down again. But I mean, if he has a soft side,
I think he kind of does.
He already alluded to he might do it at 54. Yeah,
I think he may have a soft side for Earl.
Yeah, because Spence called him. You know Spence called him on his phone personally, and they talked for a half hour, like, all right, we're going to make this happen one way or another. He appreciates Earl, no doubt.
Yeah, I don't think it changes anything, but I'm just saying that. I don't
think it changes anything. You got to get over the grieving process first. My man grieving over here, bro.
Yeah, I don't think it changes anything.
I understand, man.
He's him, man. I'm going to give him his flowers, man. But it's him. I saw enough, man. I saw enough. Like, that was it.
Great, too. Earl was still great too.
Yeah, that's a different level. Man. I ain't gonna lie to you, man. I saw it's a different level.
But no, I gotta give Earl his props though, because nobody would have done what Earl did after coming off the accident.
True.
Nobody would have.
He never took tune ups. Never took tune ups.
True. This is true. This is true. He should have took a tune up though, but it's true.
The only face I seen worse than Earl's was Erickson Lubin after the Fandora fight. Other than that, Earl has had like that was the worst I've seen. Somebody that's the worst damage I've seen.
The Martin face though, he literally had the Martin.
But no,
face,
did you see Erickson Lubin after the Fandora fight? Y'all know.
Oh, that was bad.
That was worse than Earl's.
I don't know if I've seen that.
He was disfigured. Deformed. Yeah, it was deformed. But Earl's
like
pretty bad.
Erickson Lubin too.
Erickson Lubin is out there trying to get the big fights. That Charlo fight was sort of fluke, if you ask me. So he deserves to get another shot.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, he's very. I think my Erickson Lubin is very offensively talented. Mm-hmm. Very offensively talented.
It's just I'm still. I'll be all right. I have to get over this.
Oh yeah, you'll be all right, brother.
I gotta get over this, man.
It ain't even been a week yet, man. You still grieving.
I'm still grieving.
It's the early stages of grief.
Earl's gonna be back. Trust me. Earl might be the toughest dude in boxing.
Hey Wayne, man, it's been dope having you on. Before we let you go, man, let our listeners know how they can catch you on social media. And how they can catch your show on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
How you break down fights and whatnot.
Oh yeah, shout out to Urban Sports Scene, but definitely, man, y'all can follow us on Twitter at Adams Boxing Show and the same thing on YouTube at Adams Boxing Show, man. It'll pop right up, man. Definitely appreciate the Urban Sports Scene, man.
Man,
Wayne, we appreciate you, man.
Thank you so much for being on, man. Love your content on social media, man. You're just doing great work, man. You really are.
Thank you, man. Appreciate y'all, brothers.
All right, man. Have a good one, man.
Yes, sir. Y'all too, man.
All right. My man Wayne, make sure you follow Wayne on Twitter. Wayne and Jermaine Terrell on Twitter at Adams Boxing Show. Again, at Adams Boxing Show. Same thing on YouTube as well.
Good stuff.
You know what I'm saying? Very good stuff, man. Hey, Bowie State President and Seawall
Bowie
Sport.
Bowie State.
I'll say Bowie State. Bowie
HBCU,
you know
man.
My mind is
that. Man is feeling that.
Bowie TV President and Seawall Sports Entertainment. Candy Waller will join us to talk about the Commanders training camp after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for I Just Yiddig. Deuces.
Yeah. Yeah. Feel me now, listen. Mama loved me, Pop left me, Mickey fed me, Annie dressed me, Eric fought me, made me tougher. Love you for that, man. No matter what, bruh. Marcy raised me, and whether right or wrong, streets gave me all I write in this song. Hootie babysitted, changed my diapers. Gil introduced me to the game that changed my life up. East Trenton grew me. Had me skipping school. Valencia's boyfriend, Volvo, had me making moves. Mama raised me. Pop, I miss you. God help me forgive him, I got some issues. Mickey cleaned my ears. Annie shampooed my hair. Eric was fly. I used to steal his gear. I was the baby boy. I could do no wrong. Years going past fast. Let's move along. Kitchen table. That's where I hone my skills. Jazz made me believe this was real. Labels turned me down, couldn't foresee. Clark sought me out, Dame believed. Primo laced me, Ski did too. Reasonable doubt, classic, shoulda went triple. Mama loved me, Pop left me. Grandma dressed me, plus she fed me. Banana pudding, what's in the hood then? Puffing on, drinking pink champagne. Tyrone with a VA spot. Tone, Mike, Zoe and them VA's locked. Big, what's up, ha? Be high, hated the fact. I put rap to the back. Money pouring in, clientele growing down.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray Jeezy and myself, Wole, and we are part of Empire Media. That's amppiremedia.com.
Yes, sir. And so far, it's been all about boxing today. I mean, Bud and Earl took up almost the entire show, so we're going to transition into some Commanders talk right now. We have Bowie TV President, Seawall Sports and Entertainment's Candy Wall on the line. Candy, what's good?
Hey, y'all. What's up? How's everybody doing?
We're good. Glad to have you on, Candy. Man, it's been a busy day for you, right?
Yes. The short answer is yes.
At least it's not as hot, Candy. We got cool Candy in this zone today. But last week, Candy was posting cool the heat is real. I like that.
Hey, Candy, before we get to the actual training camp talk, linebacker Jamin Davis is facing a reckless driving charge. He was cited driving 114 miles per hour in a 45 mile per hour zone in Loudoun County. The judge has rejected the plea deal, and he could see jail time. How are the players and coaches taking this news?
Everybody seems to be business as usual. It is not impacting practice. It is not impacting relationships. Coach Rivera did share in the press conference with media that they're going to be as supportive, of course, as possible, but understanding the legal process. So they are supporting Jamin, but they also understand, the law is the law. But it is not impacting practice or relationships or anything of that sort.
Do you think this could affect his position on the team, like a starting position? He's missing some valuable time.
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely had that conversation amongst the media of what the impact could potentially be if he does, in fact, have to serve this jail time. I mean, would the judge potentially say, okay, this could wait till after the season? Would the league even step in and say, okay, we have to suspend you a game or two or three or four? This is definitely a situation to watch. As we're getting and nearing into the season, I don't think it's something that's going to necessarily go away quietly. And so it's definitely something to watch for sure. Because there could potentially be some suspension of games for sure.
Oh, wow. All right. So let's get right into camp. So, you spent some time, you were in there today. Anything that popped, caught your eye today in camp? Anything different from the other days in camp that you seen?
Well, today tensions flared a bit between the offense and the defense, the second day in pads. And so the intensity has gone up. The intensity was already high, but once they put the pads on, things definitely get a little testy. So saw some testiness between center Nick Gates and linebacker Cody Barton, which Coach Eric Bieniemy chopped that down fast. He's not into wasting any time on the practice field. Coach Bieniemy is all about tempo. He's all about getting right to it. He's all about getting the plays out, getting things done. And if there's things and corrective action that needs to be made, he does not want to hold up practice with senseless tussles. I'm a person who doesn't mind a tussle here and there, but it was evident and abundantly clear that Coach Eric Bieniemy did not have time for it, and he shut that down immediately.
I'm glad you mentioned him, because as part of this media family, we see a lot of different perspectives on the Commanders, but that has been the one constant is EB is that dude. EB's bringing intensity. EB was what we needed. What's your thoughts about what Eric Bieniemy has brought to this franchise?
I mean, it's all the things you just mentioned and then some. Yesterday, I had a conversation with Andrew Wiley, former Kansas City Chief, offensive lineman, so Super Bowl champion. He's worked with Eric Bieniemy before. And one of the things that he mentioned is that EB is very detail-oriented. He gets into the minor details. The minor details, the small things make a big impact. And that is EB. I have literally watched EB make everybody do something over again. I mean, he's not singling anyone out. If he wants Jahan to do something a different way or do something exactly the same way he said it, Jahan will have to do it again. Terry will have to do it again. Different linemen will have to do it again. And it's not a picking on, it is exactly what Andrew Wiley said, in that he's very detail oriented. He wants to talk about and engage and empower that standard of excellence. So he is a bit, sometimes I like to say progress, not perfection, but no, Eric Bieniemy is very much a perfectionist. He wants it right, and he will make you do it again and again and again until you do it right. When you hear him say nice, nice, you good. But if he says do it again, you're going to have to do that thing again.
Candy, I love it. And the great John Madden, I'm not going to age us, but he visited what was then the Redskins training camp, and he saw the coach at the time, Jim Zorn, always taking Jason Campbell to the side. And the reason why I mention that is because what it showed, and many said this, is Jim Zorn was a quarterback's coach. That's what he was. He wasn't a head coach. But Eric Bieniemy sounds like a head coach based on everything you're saying and everyone else is saying about him. Do you think this is just a short stint? He's going to turn his Commanders offense around, and he's either going to be the head coach here or somewhere else. What's your thoughts on that? And then let's talk about the quarterback, Sam Howell, because he's the second name that's come up constantly in discussions.
I think Eric Bieniemy is definitely positioning himself, not necessarily for the head coach of the Washington Commanders. Ron Rivera is the happiest I've ever seen him, literally. He will probably even tell you. One day I was talking to him, and he said, you know what, Miss Candy? I feel like the man who's got the weight of the world lifted off his shoulders. Mm. And I said, and you look like it too, Coach, because you look like you are very, very happy. And so, because it's all football now. It's not questions about other stuff.
Yes.
It's all football right now. And so he's very happy, and he's able to take the back seat to Coach Bieniemy. I think that this is an opportunity, not necessarily from a head coach perspective, but to shift the culture and be the primary play caller. There will never be any more questions about who is making the call and whose play call is that. It's all Eric Bieniemy. So everybody sees the differences in players that have been vets on the team for a while, or even if they're in their second year and they see a difference, everyone will point directly to Eric Bieniemy and say, Eric Bieniemy did that. That's what we're seeing right now.
Okay, so Sam Howell, I'm sorry, he was the second name I mentioned because, again, this is what's trending in Commanders camp. Have you seen progression in this short period of time? Because you've been watching him for a while now, dating back to the end of last season.
Yeah, I've been watching Sam for a while now, and again, short answer, yes. Definitely seeing difference in Sam Howell. Longer answer, but going back to what I said about Coach Bieniemy, he expects excellence. That's the expectation. Now, there are so many coaches, and Coach Ron Rivera talked about this, that have surrounded themselves between Coach Bieniemy, the quarterbacks coaches, and the assistant coaches, who are really tapped in to the success of the overall quarterback group, and most notably Sam Howell. Sam is doing good. Sam is doing good. I think what we're seeing, where some, you know, may be talking about, like some, you know, fans may come to camp and they see some struggle a bit. It's not necessarily, I mean, it's Sam, and he's growing, but he's second year, first year in a completely different offense, that the tempo is way different, play calls different, expectations different, but he is rising to the occasion. I see different things in Sam. And one of the things that I really want to know, I haven't seen a lot of people talking about this. I am seeing and sensing Sam making a connection with each one of the offensive players individually and collectively. It's almost like he's watching the film even on his receivers and getting to know them in a way of where their strengths are, even when they catch the football. And even when he's handing the football off to them, he's almost, it seems like he's tailoring it to where they're comfortable. Mm. And that takes a level of chemistry and dedication, not to just learning the plays, but to also learning the players. So I'm anxious to see how this continues to progress. When Sam does make a mistake, he corrects it. Again, going back to Eric Bieniemy, he's going to make you do it again until you get it right. And Sam, oftentimes, he makes that corrective action pretty quickly.
That's a good sign. That means that, you know, that he's growing. He's a young quarterback, so that's what, you know, this team has been, they've been trying to groom a young quarterback, so that's a good sign for Sam Howell. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't want to get into Sam Howell because, you know, that's a thing that everybody wants to talk about. But in terms of, like, this team's defense, this is the thing that everybody's talking about. They're talking about how this defense has been dominating the offense in camp. Is this true? Is this defense looking that real out there?
Yes. Again, another short answer. Yes. Okay. I mean, you all may have heard me say, I think I shared with you all during OTAs. Mm-hmm. I was like, I mean, one day I got frustrated. Like, well, I mean, is anybody going to be able to catch the ball other than the defensive backs? I mean, what are we doing out here? And so that's a sign for me going back to the offense of their progression as well. So far since OTAs, because the defensive backs were making a lot of noise, and they still are. But that defensive front here's a sign right here that defensive front is ready and poised to be everything they're supposed to be. Deron Payne has been typically a more quiet member of the team. He's loud on the field, right? His play is loud. But who he is, he's very humble. You know, everybody knows he got, you know, paid this offseason, rightfully so. But I've heard now Deron share with the media consistently that they understand the sense of urgency. He notes these two monsters we got on the end. He calls Sweat and Young monsters, the two monsters we got on the end, and all of the guys you got on the interior and all of the other guys behind us. We know the capital that has been invested on this line and on this defense. We know we have to come out fast. We will come out fast. And that is how they're acting in practice every single day. Most notably today, I was sharing with our media family member, Lake Lewis. I was like, Deron Payne is playing out of his mind. I said, he's acting like a lunatic out there. He's going crazy. It was like, whoa, maybe we just bubble wrap Deron. All right. He's good. Bubble wrap him. But they know that how you practice is how you play. So nobody's going to bubble wrap him. He's going to keep practicing. But to hear him speak in that way, in a very leadership, authoritative tone of them understanding who they are, what the investment has been made into them, and how they need to show up, that is a very positive sign. Believe all of the headlines. The Washington Commanders defense is legit. It is real. And I think it will make an impact on the scoreboard come game day.
It's good news for you, Washington Commanders fan. So, hey, Candy, before we let you go, how can folks catch your content from on Seawall Sports, Bowie State, you know? I mean, Bowie State, Bowie TV. You know, I'm an HBCU mode, bro. You know who I am.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's right.
Bowie TV, excuse me, because you're the president of Bowie TV. So, like, let our listeners know all of your content.
So, everybody, make sure you're following the Bowie TV Sports Twitter, the Bowie TV Sports Instagram, and the Bowie TV YouTube. It's Bowie TV at BCNC Maryland TV. A ton of content is on there. You can also follow me on Twitter at CBallSC. I put my notes there. Uh-huh. We're still doing the live show. If you want to bring in your comments on Seawall Sports and Entertainment, Facebook and YouTube pages, but if you still haven't cut your cable, you can catch that. You can catch it on Verizon Channel 11 and Comcast Xfinity Channel 77 every day from 1:30 to 2:30. So I'm back up with all my notes and the shows and you name it, but those are all the different places you can catch the Washington Commanders content.
Hey, Candy, thanks for being on. Proud of you. Doing great work. Keep it up.
All right. Thank you all so much for having me.
And anytime.
All right.
Bye-bye. Again, that was Candy Waller from Seawall Sports Entertainment, also Bowie TV president. So make sure you follow her on Twitter at Seawall SE. That's at Seawall SE.
Oh, man. Great show, brother.
I know.
That's all I can say. Will did not make it tonight. That was unexpected.
Yeah.
And the three of us having this discussion would have been even harder to stay within the time frame.
Yeah, it would have been dope.
So I missed out on that talk because he called it, and he called it accurately. Mm-hmm. He's not boasting, but he did come for me on the text messages. You saw it though. He added me in text messages.
Oh, did he? Oh, yeah.
He added me first about the Fulton fight, even though he never picked nobody with the Fulton in a way fight. But anyway, it's all good.
It's all good, man. Hey, this has been a great show. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search The Urban Sports Scene. Also, follow us on Twitter at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Don't forget to subscribe to our Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. Check out the home of The Urban Sports Scene, Amplifier Media, at amplifiermedia.com. And this show can be found on the Podcast DC app. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Amplifier shows as well as other great content. Hey, man, thanks for everybody for tuning in. Ray Jeezy. Hey, Bud. Thanks for being my man. Not thank you, but Bud. be my man, Earl. Good work, man. You him now, Bud. You him. I'm going to say that for everybody who's listening. You know what I'm saying? I give a shout out to Mike Knott, who I lost a bet to. So now I'm basically a vegan for like 2 weeks. That's cool. I can do that. I can handle it anyway. And, you know, shout out to my man, my homies, Rodney and Lawrence. Y'all won. Y'all were MVPs, man. Your dude won. Congratulations.
Wow, you are really struggling with this.
You know what I'm saying? Congratulations, man. Anyway, man, appreciate everybody for tuning in. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Sign by Aegis, Yedig, Deuces, A-Mega. Lead us out, big homie. Yeah.